In this episode, we return to our exploration of the phenomena of the Hat Man, with three stories of people's encounters with this mysterious spirit. These stories are adapted from true events. First, we hear from Anna, a woman forever stalked by the shadowy figure known as the Hat Man. Then, Andrew and Elena's innocent graveyard exploration reveals a horror that defies understanding. In the moonlit silence, they find a creature born of nightmares, testing the limits of what they believe is possible. Finally, we witness the terrifying ordeal of a father, who goes by the pseudonym Pterodactyl. His daughter's birth summons a malevolent spectre, the Tall Hat Man. His family's sanctuary is shattered, forcing him to confront a darkness beyond his darkest fears. Story 1. In a modest, dimly lit apartment on the outskirts of a bustling city, young Anna, barely 4 years old, experienced her first brush with the inexplicable. The walls, plastered with faded wallpaper and framed family photos, bore witness to Anna's nights filled with restless sleep and eerie whispers from the shadows. It began one quiet night, when the moon cast a pale glow through the sheer curtains of Anna's small bedroom. Her room, usually a sanctuary filled with the comfort of stuffed animals and storybooks, transformed as the clock ticked closer to midnight. That night, as Anna lay tucked under her flower-printed blankets, her eyes fluttered open to a chilling sight. At the threshold of her bedroom stood a tall, lanky figure, draped in a dark coat, crowned with a top hat that seemed to scrape the ceiling. The Hat Man, as Anna would come to call him, loomed silently, his presence filling the room with a cold, thick air of foreboding. Though his face remained obscured in the darkness, Anna could feel his eyes fixed upon her, unblinking and intense. For 2 long years, the shadowy visitor persisted. Night after night, Anna watched from her bed as the Hat Man tried to step into her room. Each attempt seemed more determined than the last. Yet he never quite managed to cross the threshold. His presence was marked by a palpable drop in temperature and the faint sound of old floorboards creaking under his weight. Anna's early childhood was thus punctuated by these nocturnal visits. Her cries for her parents would often fill the apartment, leading to hurried footsteps and the flicking on of the lights. But by then, the Hat Man would have vanished, leaving behind a lingering sense of unease that no amount of soothing could dispel. As the family eventually moved to a new house, hoping for a fresh start away from the memories of the dark visitor, little did they know that this was just the beginning of their journey into the unknown. Anna, her heart heavy with the silent dread of nights past, could only wonder if the shadow that had so often visited her was truly left behind in that old apartment, or if it might follow her, as persistent in essence as the mystery that surrounded it. Life in the new house brought a brief respite for Anna and her family. The walls were brighter, the neighbourhood quieter, and for a while, it seemed as if the shadow that had stalked Anna's nights might have dissolved into the realms of her early childhood memories. But the peace was superficial, a thin veil that soon began to fray as the Hat Man's dark silhouette re-emerged from the depths of Anna's past. It was a stormy night, 1 year after they had settled into their new home, that Anna first felt the familiar prickle of unease. The house creaked under the weight of the howling wind, and rain drummed relentlessly against the windows. As Anna lay in her bed, a flash of lightning briefly illuminated her room, casting long, sinister shadows that danced across the walls. In the flickering silence that followed, she saw him. The Hat Man. No longer a mere spectre at the threshold, but a tangible presence at the foot of her bed. His figure was clearer than ever before, the details of his dark coat and top hat stark against the stormy backdrop. Anna's breath caught in her throat as she watched him slowly raise a hand towards her, the fingers long and unnervingly distinct. The room felt oppressively cold, and the air thickened as if time itself was slowing down. Anna could feel the grin she couldn't see, a malice in the stillness, an anticipation of fear. Frozen in terror, Anna wanted to scream, but found her voice trapped within her. The Hat Man began to move closer, each step deliberate, resonating with the thunder that rolled overhead. Just as he reached the side of her bed, the room plunged into darkness as the power went out. In the blackness, Anna felt a whisper of movement, the slightest brush of fabric against her blanket. Her heart raced, and she could hear her own ragged breathing loud in the silent room. Then, as quickly as the darkness had engulfed her, the lights flickered back to life, and Anna blinked against the sudden brightness. The Hat Man was gone, but the imprint of his presence was palpable. A cold spot beside her bed where the air seemed to hum with static energy. The days that followed were tense, with Anna's every night punctuated by the fear of his return. Her parents, desperate to protect their daughter, draped crucifixes over her bed and lined the windowsills with salt. But despite their efforts, the atmosphere in the house had shifted. The walls whispered secrets in the dark, and shadows lingered longer than they should. Amidst this growing dread, a new terror arose. Anna's brother, previously skeptical of her stories, began to experience his own nocturnal visitor. He described a shadow woman who crawled toward him whenever he closed his eyes. Her movements jerky and unnatural, as if pulled by unseen strings. Each night, he said, she came closer, her silhouette growing more defined, her intentions as obscure and terrifying as the Hat Man's. The family's fear escalated to palpable panic. Their home, once a place of safety and warmth, now felt like a stage for some dark play, with each member assigned a role they did not wish to play. Anna's brother's encounters with the shadow woman left him sleepless and anxious. His descriptions of her crawling advance haunting the family's days and nights. In a final desperate attempt to reclaim their home from the grips of the unseen, their parents turned to a more spiritual defense, wielding holy water with fervent hope. Room by room, they anointed the corners and doorways, praying for protection and reprieve. For a time, the air felt lighter, the nights quieter, and the family dared to hope that perhaps this time they had banished the shadows for good. But as history had shown Anna, some shadows were too deep to be cleared away so easily. As the years passed, Anna reached the cusp of adulthood without further sightings of the Hat Man. The intervention seemed to have worked, casting a shield over her life. Yet, the shadow of her past lingered like a silent whisper in her mind. Now 19, living in a new house, she found herself often pausing by windows at night, peering into the dark, half expecting to catch the familiar outline of the top hat against the moonlit sky. Anna's peace was brittle, her mind never quite free from the memories of the dark visitor. Her curiosity about the Hat Man grew as she ventured into online forums and communities, searching for answers. It was there she discovered she was not alone. Numerous accounts of similar encounters populated her screen, each story echoing her own fears and experiences. People from different parts of the world spoke of the Hat Man, describing him haunting their dreams or appearing during moments of intense emotion. This revelation did not bring comfort. Instead, it wove threads of deeper intrigue and unease into her thoughts. Who was this entity that seemed to exist beyond the confines of one girl's experiences? What did he want? Anna's journey through fear and curiosity led her to a broader understanding of the world. A world where such phenomena, though not understood, are part of a larger narrative shared by many. Her story intertwined with those of others who had felt the cold gaze of the Hat Man suggested a connection between our deepest fears and the shadows that flicker at the edges of human perception. As she shared her story first tentatively and then more openly, Anna realized that storytelling was not just about unburdening her own soul, but also about connecting with others who had walked similar paths. It was through these shared experiences that a community was built, a collective that sought to understand rather than fear the darkness. Story 2. It was a crisp, clear night when Andrew and his girlfriend Elena found themselves aimlessly driving through the city. The streets were unusually quiet. The world around them seemed to slumber deeply, unaware of the restless souls seeking an escape from the mundane. As the car's clock ticked closer to 3 a.m, a daring idea took root. "Let's walk around the cemetery," Andrew suggested, his voice a mix of curiosity and challenge. Elena, always intrigued by the paranormal and mysteries of the unseen, agreed with a nervous smile. Their destination was an old city cemetery known for its sprawling grounds and historical graves. It was a place where the past lingered heavily in the air, a sanctuary for both the dead and the stories left untold. As they approached the gates, the playful facade of an adventure began to give way to an undercurrent of apprehension. The cemetery loomed before them, bathed in moonlight, its shadows dancing between the ancient tombstones. Andrew parked the car near the entrance, the engine cessation adding sudden silence to the night. They didn't head directly into the heart of the cemetery. Instead, they started at a nearby memorial site dedicated to forgotten war heroes. As they walked through the archway leading to the memorials, Alina's steps slowed, her hand tingling around Andrew's. "Do you feel that?" she whispered, her voice barely carrying over the gentle rustling of leaves. "There's something heavy here. It's like the air is thicker." Elena's discomfort was palpable, and although Andrew couldn't feel the energy she spoke of, the eerie stillness of the place began to unsettle him. They moved from one memorial to another, each site seeming to hold a different shade of stillness, a different whisper of the past. Elena's unease grew with each step. She described a sensation of being watched, of energies swirling around, intangible, yet oppressively present. Trying to shake off the creeping dread, they continued their nocturnal exploration, winding their way towards an old chapel used for storage and maintenance. The building stood solitary, its stone facade aged and weathered, a silent sentinel amidst the graves. They circled the chapel, the beam from their flashlight casting long, sinister shadows against the crumbling walls. Every small noise, the cracking of a twig, the whisper of the wind, seemed amplified in the quiet of the night. As they left the chapel, a sense of urgency began to build, a subconscious signal that it was time to return. They quickened their pace, the path back to the car now feeling longer, the darkness more enveloping. The cemetery was no longer just a place of history and rest, but a canvas for the unknown, each shadow a brushstroke of darker tales untold. Their walk back was a blend of haste and hesitation, their night air growing colder, as if to hasten their departure. Andrew's skepticism began to waver, his rational mind unable to fully dismiss the heavy atmosphere and Elena's growing distress. What started as a quest for a thrill was morphing into a genuine confrontation with something they couldn't quite explain. A journey into the realm of shadowy figures and whispered legends that perhaps were too real for comfort. Andrew and Elena's brisk pace slowed involuntarily as a peculiar chill descended upon them, a coldness that seemed to seep from the very earth beneath their feet. The moon, a silent observer in the sky, cast an eerie glow that faintly illuminated the path ahead. Just as they neared the bend that led back towards the cemetery's entrance, both halted in their tracks, their hearts pounding with a sudden inexplicable dread. There, about 20 to 30 meters ahead, stood a figure, so bizarre and unsettling that for a moment, they questioned the reality of their eyes. It was a human silhouette, but unlike anything they had ever seen. Two-dimensional, as if cut from the night itself, and colored in a depth of black so intense it seemed to absorb the light around it. The figure appeared to be Venta Black, a void of darkness that no detail could escape. Andrew squinted, trying to make sense of the vision before him. To him, the shape morphed into a woman with long flowing hair, standing in profile, her features impossibly obscured by the unnatural blackness. Elena, gripping his arm tightly, whispered with a voice tinged with fear. "No, look. It's a man. A man in a coat and a hat." Her description chillingly different. Despite their disparate perceptions, they both noted the figure's movement. Odd and disjointed, with knees lifting unnaturally high as if wading through an unseen resistance. The figure slowly turned, its movement smooth yet disturbingly unnatural, and began to drift sideways, gliding rather than walking, its form never gaining dimension or clarity. The sight was so uncanny, so utterly out of place in the natural world, that a primal fear took root in their guts. Reality snapped back harshly as the figure's movement seemed to beckon them into the darkness. Adrenaline surged through their veins, and with a mutual unspoken agreement, they turned and ran. Their flight was frenetic, a desperate race against an unseen pursuer they felt could descend upon them at any moment. The cemetery, once merely a silent collection of stones and memories, now felt alive with malevolent intent. Every shadow seemed to stretch towards them. Every gust of wind whispered threat. The chapel they had circled earlier loomed in the periphery of their vision, now a sinister watchtower overseeing their escape. As they neared the car, their breaths came in ragged gasps, the cold air biting at their lungs. They dared not look back, for fear that the sight of the shadowy figure might paralyze them with terror. The ground beneath their feet felt unstable, as though it could at any moment give way to the dark forces that had invaded their night. Slamming the car doors shut behind them, Andrew fumbled with the keys, his hands shaking uncontrollably. The roar of the engine as it came to life was the most beautiful sound, a promise of safety, a tether back to reality. Elena locked the doors, her eyes wide and fixed on the rearview mirror, half expecting to see the figure looming in the darkness behind them. As they drove away, the cemetery fading into the night behind them, the weight of what they had expected hung heavily between them. They sought a thrill, a brush with the unknown. But what they encountered was a stark reminder of how thin the veil might be between their world and the one that whispered from the shadows. Their relief at escaping was tinged with the unsettling knowledge that their reality had been irrevocably altered. They knew that after tonight, the night would never be the same again. As the city's lights gradually reclaimed them from the darkness, Andrew and Elena rode in silence, each lost in their own tumultuous thoughts. The familiar streets seemed different now, as if the shadows cast by the street lamps held deeper, darker secrets than they had before. When they finally spoke, their voices were low, tinged with the residue of fear and wonder. "I know what I saw, Andrew. It was definitely a man. The way it moved. It wasn't natural," Elena said, her eyes still scanning the mirrors as if expecting the shadowy figure to materialize at any moment. Andrew nodded, gripping the steering wheel a little tighter. "And I saw a woman. Long hair, clear as day. Except there was nothing clear about it. It was like looking at a void. No light, no details, just absence." Their attempts to rationalize the encounter spiraled into a deeper discussion about the nature of what they had witnessed. Was it a ghost, a shadow person, or something else entirely? Something that defined the conventional understanding of the paranormal. The more they talked, the more they realized that their experience was less about finding answers and more about the profound impact it had on them. The discrepancy in their visions of the figure puzzled them deeply. It raised unsettling questions about perception and reality. How two people could witness the same phenomenon, yet see something entirely different? What did that say about the nature of the entity? What did it say about their minds? As they arrived home, the safety of the familiar surroundings did little to dispel the night's terror. The encounter at the cemetery had changed something fundamental in their perception of the world. The boundary between the known and the unknown had thinned, revealing a sliver of the vast unknown that existed just out of sight. That night, as they lay in bed, the darkness of their room seemed denser, filled with the potential of unseen eyes watching you from just beyond the veil. Sleep was slow to come and fraught with restless dreams. Yet, despite the fear, there was an undeniable thrill in having touched a mystery so profound, so unsettling, that it changed their understanding of the world. In the days that followed, Andrew and Elena would often find themselves back in conversation about that night. Each discussion peeling back layers of their internal terror to reveal a deep-seated curiosity about the paranormal world. The encounter had opened a door they could never fully close. A door that neither of them was sure they wanted to. Their experience at the cemetery remained with them. A haunting reminder of the night they came face to face with something inexplicable. Something that defied explanation and challenged their very perceptions of reality. It was an encounter that would linger in their minds. A spectral memory as dark and enigmatic as the shadow they had seen. Story 3. In the quiet suburban home where Pterodactyl and his wife had dreamed of raising their family, an unsettling presence had long been brewing beneath the surface of their daily lives. Pterodactyl, no stranger to the paranormal, had experienced his fair share of unexplainable phenomena, from fleeting shadows in his peripheral vision to the unnerving chill of unseen presences. However, nothing had prepared him for the escalation that accompanied his wife's pregnancy in early 2019. For as long as he could remember, Pterodactyl had been a lucid dreamer, able to navigate the dreamscapes with a sense of control and curiosity. Sleep paralysis was a rare, albeit chilling, guest in these nocturnal journeys, occurring just once every few years. These episodes, while deeply unsettling, were infrequent enough to be brushed aside as mere quirks of his otherwise active subconscious. But as the first trimester of the pregnancy progressed, a shift occurred. It was as if the very fabric of his dream world thinned, allowing darker entities and energies to seep through more freely. The nights grew denser. The air around had their bed thick with anticipation, as if waiting for a signal to unleash something hidden. It was during one such night that Pterodactyl first encountered the entity he would come to know as the Tall Hat Man. Awoken from a restless sleep, he found himself in the grip of paralysis, his body an immovable anchor as his eyes darted frantically around the room. There, at the foot of the bed, stood a figure cloaked in darkness, its form barely discernible but for the unmistakable outline of a tall, brimmed hat. The details of its face remained shrouded in shadow, yet the intensity of its stare was palpable, a piercing gaze that seemed to reach into the very core of his being. The visits became a reoccurring nightmare, night after night, sometimes multiple times in succession. Pterodactyl would awaken to find the Tall Hat Man watching, always from the same spot, where his feet lay, at the corner of the bed. The experiences were accompanied by eerie sensations and sometimes noises that only he could hear. A low growl or a muttered phrase, sounds that left him questioning his own sanity. His wife, often stirred from her sleep by his distressed mutters or muffled screams, became an unwilling participant in these haunting encounters. She would wake him, her hands trembling as she touched his arm, her eyes wide with concern. Despite her attempts to comfort him, the fear that something might reach out from the shadows and touch not just him, but the child they had yet to meet, hung heavy between them. As the due date approached, the boundary between his waking life and the haunted world of his dreams blurred further. Each night a journey into uncertainty, each morning a relief that it was over. Until the sun set again. But this cycle of fear was only the beginning, a prelude to what was to come once their daughter was born and the Tall Hat Man's attention, ominously, began to shift towards the new life they had brought into their home. The birth of Pterodactyl's daughter was supposed to be a joyous occasion, a moment of new beginnings and hopeful futures. However, the shadow of the Tall Hat Man loomed larger than ever, turning what should have been peaceful nights into vigils marked by vigilance and dread. The entity's visits did not cease. Rather, they evolved, becoming more brazen and terrifying with the arrival of the newborn. In the early weeks following his daughter's birth, Pterodactyl's nocturnal encounters grew more intense. The Tall Hat Man began appearing not just at the foot of his bed, but also in the nursery, an intrusion that chilled Pterodactyl to his core. One night, compelled by a gut-wrenching feeling of unease, he had tiptoed to the nursery to check on his sleeping daughter. The nightlight cast soft shadows against the walls, the crib's mobile slowly turning with quiet lullabies. And there, in the faint light, the outline of the Tall Hat Man was unmistakable, standing ominously behind the crib. Pterodactyl's heart raced, panic set in as he flicked on the main light. The figure vanished as if it were a trick of the light or a shadow cast by passing clouds. But the threat felt all too real, too imminent. He began to take pictures randomly in the nursery during the night, hoping to capture evidence of what he saw, to prove he wasn't losing his mind. And then, one night, his efforts bore fruit. A chilling photograph showing a vague, shadowy figure looming near the crib. The image was grainy, almost smudged, but the tall hat and the imposing stance were unmistakable. This tangible proof of the tall hat man's presence sent Pterodactyl into protective overdrive. Desperate to safeguard his family, he turned to ancient symbols and rites for help. After extensive research and consultation within the paranormal communities, he employed the Seal of Solomon, a symbol reputed to protect against demonic forces. He placed the seal around the nursery and other key areas of the house, reciting protective prayers as he did so. For a time, the seal seemed to work. The atmosphere lightened slightly, the oppressive weight of dread lifting. Nights passed without incident, and Pterodactyl allowed himself a cautious breath of relief. His daughter's sleep became calmer, undisturbed by the unseen gaze that had watched her before. However, his peace was short-lived. As weeks turned into months, a creeping sense of unease began to reassert itself within the household. Pterodactyl felt the familiar prickling of his instincts, a silent alarm that whispered of the tall hat man's return. He noticed it first in subtle shifts, the way the shadows pooled a little darker in the corners of the rooms, or how the chill of the night seemed to linger longer into the dawn. The Seal of Solomon, once a bastion of their safety, now appeared less potent, its edges fading as if sapped of its strength. Pterodactyl watched, heart sinking, as the fabric of their reality thinned once again. The barrier, holding back the dark fray at its edges. His daughter's previously peaceful nights were now punctuated by soft whimpers, her tiny hands clutching at empty air, as if warding off an unseen presence. Pterodactyl knew he was facing a resurgence of the dark forces that had plagued them before, this time perhaps more determined than ever. He realized that the battle was not over. It had merely paused, gathering strength. As he prepared to defend his family once again, he understood the true nature of what they were up against. It was not just a fight against haunting. It was a fight for their very peace and sanctity. The fragile peace in Pterodactyl's home shattered like glass under the relentless pressure of the tall hat man's dark intentions. The entity's shadow began to creep into the very fabric of their lives, manifesting not only in Pterodactyl's visions, but now, alarmingly, in the experiences of his young daughter. Pterodactyl's nights were once again a battleground between reality and nightmare. His lucid dreams, once a realm of exploration and control, turned into twisted labyrinths from which escape seemed impossible. Each night as he slipped into sleep, the familiar dread would settle over him, a prelude to the chaos to come. The dreams began innocently enough, but would soon darken as sinister shadows crept into the periphery, culminating in the oppressive presence of the tall hat man. These encounters left him waking, gasping for air, his heart pounding with a terror that lingered into the waking hours. Simultaneously, his daughter, barely old enough to articulate her fears, began to show signs of distress. Night after night, she would murmur in her sleep, sometimes speaking to someone unseen, her small voice fluctuating between curiosity and fear. On some nights, her cries of no, no, no would pierce the stillness, pulling her parents from their sleep and into her room, where they would find her eyes darting around corners filled only with shadows. As if the haunting wasn't enough, a series of misfortunes began to plague the family. financial strains emerged unexpectedly, adding to the already heavy atmosphere of their home. Pterodactyl couldn't shake the feeling that these troubles were somehow connected to the Tall Hat Man's appearances, as though the figure was not just a watcher, but a harbinger of hardship. The weight of these relentless paranormal activities began to take its toll on the family. Pterodactyl, once confident in his ability to protect his loved ones, now faced the reality of his limitations against such an intangible foe. The fear that he might fail to keep this spectre from his family gnawed at him, driving him to seek help once more. Desperate for a resolution, Pterodactyl revisited the forums and contacts that aided him before. He pored over old texts and messages, seeking out those who had faced similar threats and had come out the other side. The advice was varied and complex, ranging from reinforcing their home with more powerful symbols like the Seal of Solomon, to engaging with spiritual mediums who could offer insight, or perhaps a direct confrontation with the entity. With a mixture of determination and dread, Pterodactyl began to implement these new strategies. He updated the protective seals around their home, each symbol meticulously drawn and blessed. He also arranged for a medium to visit, hoping that perhaps a direct challenge to the Tall Hat Man would banish it from their lives for good. As the day of the medium's visit approached, the air in the home became charged with a palpable tension. Both Pterodactyl and his wife prepared themselves for what might be a confrontation of spiritual magnitude, their resolve hardened by the love for their daughter and the unyielding desire to reclaim the peace that was once theirs. Through these actions, Pterodactyl reinforced not just the physical boundaries of his home, but also the spiritual and emotional barriers he hoped would shield his family from further harm. On the day of the medium's visit, the house seemed to hold its breath, the walls themselves bracing for the encounter that was to come. As the medium arrived, their presence brought a momentary sense of calm, her confidence a balm to Pterodactyl and his wife's frayed nerves. She began by setting up in the nursery, the centre of much of the recent activity, her tools consisting of incense, ancient texts, and symbols that glinted with the promise of power. The session started with a purification ritual, the medium's chants echoing through the rooms, filling the space with vibrations that seemed to cleanse the air itself. As she called out to the spirits, the atmosphere tightened, the pressure building like the air before a storm. Then, focusing her energy, she addressed the Tall Hat Man directly, challenging its presence, demanding it reveal its purpose and relinquish its hold on the family. The response was almost immediate. A cold gust swept through the house, the lights flickered, and for a moment, the very foundation seemed to shake. Pterodactyl and his wife, and even the medium, stood firm, bound by a shared resolve to protect the innocent life that had unwittingly become entangled in this supernatural struggle. As the medium continued her incantations, the tension began to dissipate, the oppressive air lifting in gradual waves of relief. After what felt like an eternity, the room brightened, the heavy presence that had loomed over them fading into a distant memory. The medium concluded the ritual with a blessing, her words imbuing the home with a lightness that had been absent for months. In the days that followed, the change was palpable. The shadows that had once danced menacingly in the corners now seemed merely ordinary, the light from the windows casting them away effortlessly. Pterodactyl's daughter slept through the nights undisturbed, her dreams no longer gateways to fear, but to the innocent adventures befitting her tender age. Pterodactyl himself felt a proud shift within. The experience had changed him, deepening his understanding of the forces that weave through the tapestry of our reality. He knew that the battle might not be completely over, that the Tall Hat Man or other entities might one day try to breach the sanctity of their home again. However, he felt prepared, armed, not just with protective symbols and practices, but with a fortified spirit and a deepened resolve. As he looked at his family safe and content, Pterodactyl knew the true value of the peace they had reclaimed. The struggle against the paranormal had taught him about resilience, about the power of ununified spirits facing down the shadows. While the nature of the Tall Hat Man remained a mystery, its intentions obscured by the veil between worlds, Pterodactyl found strength in his role as a protector, a guardian anchored by love, and an unwavering commitment to keep the darkness at bay. Reflecting on these events, Pterodactyl understood that his journey into the paranormal was far from over. It was a path marked by challenges and learning, a continuous test of mettle against the unknown. But with each step forward, he carried the certainty that the light within himself and his home was a beacon strong enough to outshine any darkness that dared to approach. Thank you for watching and or listening to this episode on whichever platform you are choosing to do so. Don't forget to hit the like button, subscribe if you don't already do so, and also engage with me on other platforms such as TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, or X as it's called nowadays. Thanks again for listening.